Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. I'm going to ask you to please turn with me in your Bible to Revelation 15. Revelation 15. I'm going to read Revelation 15, verses 1 through 8, but the message will come through Revelation 15 and 16 this morning. If you would you please follow along with me as I read God's holy word? It's Revelation chapter 15 and starting in verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and amazing, seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last, for with them the wrath of God is finished. And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name, standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." After this I looked, and the sanctuary of the tent of the witness in heaven was opened, and out of the sanctuary came the seven angels with the seven plagues, clothed in pure, bright linen with golden sashes around their chests. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the sanctuary was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. Well, may the Lord be praised through the proclamation of his word. What I'm going to ask you is open up your bulletin. And did all of you have one of these? If not, I'll hand them out because I want you to follow. I want everyone to have one. Okay. It's an outline on this, and if you don't, here I can pass this back. Does anyone need one? Everyone have one? What I want you to see is the outline. I've been following this outline since we started back in January, and if you'll notice, we have gone through the outline. We did the Revelation introduction. We talked about the seven churches. We talked about the seven seals. We talked about the seven trumpets. We did the seven visions last week in there, which was number four of the seven visions. And we talked about those, and we broke them all down. Today, I am going to be talking about the seven bowls. Only instead of breaking this down like I did in last week's, I'm going to do this as one chunk. The reason being is we've heard this before. Why am I saying that? Well, when we look at number 2, it says Revelation 4, 1 through chapter 8, verse 5, it talked about the seven seals, and then we talked about the seven trumpets. Well, the seven bowls that we're looking at here under number 5 is the same story told more graphically. And I will use this as an idea. Everybody here watches TV and movies. When you go to a movie, do you look to see what the rating is? You know what the ratings are. There's G, there's PG, PG-13, and then what? There's rated R, and then there's X, and then there's triple X. I hope you don't go watch the triple X. I may have to come over and visit your house. Well, anyways, the point being is, when we're reading the bowls today, we're reading the R-rated version of the wrath of God. And I'm going to show you that. That's what we're going to be doing today. Now I'm going to ask you to flip this over. And this is what I'm hoping that you will see. This is what I'm hoping that you will see as we've been working through the whole book of Revelation. This is how you and I should be considering it, working through it. And I'm going to go through this with you, understanding Revelation based on the literary structure. When the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation, picture this. He sat down and said, I am going to talk about seven churches. I'm going to talk about seven seals. I'm going to talk about seven trumpets, seven visions, seven bowls, seven judgments, seven last things. Do you see how it's organized? He isn't doing this like, oh, I sort of think about this and I sort of think about that. No, it's in an order. And then as you come to each one, as we can see on this example, he broke down the bowls to seven and he described them and talked about them. He's done this over and over and over again. This is a literary device that he's using. And so when you're on this side of the page, here it says, in order to correctly interpret the visions of the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls, we need to realize something. There are connections between these three series that demonstrate that these visions are not to be viewed as lined up one after another, but are parallel repetitions. These do not occur chronologically. They tell the same inter-Advent story, but build an intensity in the retelling. Think of it this way. A movie can tell a story, but can do it in different ratings. You can watch a movie told as a G-rated movie. You can watch the same exact movie with the editor's uncut edition, and it can be the R-rated movie. Do you get the idea? So I'm going to show examples through my message today, and I'll give you that in a minute. So there's the first connection. All of these have seven parts. Can you see that even on the backside? He's talking about seven things, and he has seven parts in it. We are first introduced to sevenfold judgment when God entered into the covenant with Israel, in which he said he would punish them sevenfold if they broke that covenant. Which covenant are we talking about? It'd be the Mosaic covenant. The number seven is used in the Bible for completion. There were blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. And I gave you an example there. It's in Leviticus 26. We won't get into that right now, but that he's going to talk about it was four times. I'm warning you. And so there's a group of sevens. Well, anyways, and this wasn't just for Israel. It was for God's people alone, but it was for those people of the world, which is in Psalm 79. And they give them the sevenfold judgments on the nations. So Revelation, in our book of Revelation, it picks up seven and uses it this same exact way. John is not making this up. John is following truths out of Leviticus. He's following the same biblical pattern that he had learned when he was younger. So he isn't making this up. So anyways, Revelation picks up on these things, and it uses this series. So there's what you will see when you're looking through each one of the judgments, the way John spells it out, he says there's four series of sevens. There's the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven thunders, but they are sealed. What it means is he does not tell us what those will be. Those will be revealed at another time, but the bowls, the R-rated, is revealed. And so so this is modeled after what is called the four times of the sevenfold punishments of the covenant breakers in godlessness. So I'll work through this. So I gave an example under the second connection. This is how it works. All seven parts are structured the same exact way. When I'm saying that, I'm saying the seals, the trumpets, the visions, the bowls. They're all structured. He intentionally wrote this out so that when you see under two, it says the seals, under the second connection, the seals, he has four horsemen, which are all judgments, and then he gives the three other seals. When we moved to the trumpets, something we saw in the weeks past, he had the four plagues on the earth, and then came what? The three woes. Under the bowls, we're going to see four judgments of the cosmos, and then three other judgments. This is a pattern that he's using. So when you read through Revelation, you need to see the pattern, or you will not understand the book of Revelation, and it will seem like, what's he doing? Why is he doing this? And how come he repeats? When you understand the way he laid it out, it goes, oh, that makes perfect sense. Now notice the third connection. All seven parts have the same pattern. And so the first, 1-4, is a set of four judgments. When you look at each one, the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls, the first four things he's going to say are going to be judgments. Then the fifth judgment is an intensification or more graphic of the previous four judgments. Number five, when he goes through the list, so he's going to repeat this over and over and over again, so you understand. He isn't trying to confuse you. He's actually trying to make it easier for you to understand. And so then there's the sixth judgment is a transition element. He's going from the judgments to, guess what? You know what? We're evaluating, and this is what will end. And what will end is number seven. The judgment brings us to the very end. So every one of the sevens, when you get into each, break this down, this, when it says the seven seals, the seventh seal ends. When you get to the trumpets, the seventh trumpet ends. When you get to the bowls, the seventh one in that ends. It's the end of time. It brings us right up to the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? He does this. He repeats it over and over and over again. So when shall we expect these things to happen? So this literary observation will help us to understand this kind of a question. Number one, the phrase at the end of each series is the same. At the end, which I just mentioned, at the end of the seals, at the end of the trumpets, at the end of the bowls, you will hear something called a theophany. I don't know if I've emphasized this before. Have any of you ever even heard the word before, a theophany, or what it means biblically? Well, for those who haven't heard it, it's a way of describing an invisible God. God is spirit, and those who worship him in spirit and truth, so he's invisible. But so how do you describe him? Well, God sees. Well, does God have eyes? God will hear you when you pray. Well, does God actually have an ear? Does God have a hand? Does he reach out? And he says, but God upholds us and holds us with his hands. Well, I haven't seen a hand. So we use these kind of words, and the term we use is a theophany. And so the bottom line comes from this, it's this language. And so in his coming, what does he sound like in all of these occasions? And we will see today, we're going to see it, I'm going to use it today. It's thunder, lightning, hail, smoke, fire, are all descriptions of a theophany of when God comes. It's the end. So anyways, we'll go on from there. So number two, each series begins and ends in the temple. You'll hear that over and over and over again. It will begin with, and it was in the temple. And we saw that when we read Revelation 15 this morning. And it was, the temple was open, and we're looking in. So it's a temple thing. We're in the heavenlies. He does this over and over and over again. And we see it as an example with the seals. It was Revelation 4:1, and it closes with Revelation 7:17. The temple. And then when you go to the trumpets, it opens with the temple in 8:1-3. And then later, when that's under the trumpets, it ends again with the temple in Revelation 11:19. When you talk about the bowls, which we'll see today, which I'm, Lord willing, if I talk fast enough, we will get to it. But the point being, in Revelation 15:5, it opens with the temple. I just read it. The temple was open, and out comes the angel, overseer that's in around the temple goes to the angel and hands him the bowls. And so what we're seeing, but it will end in Revelation 16:17, again, in the temple. We will all be brought back to the temple. We will all come into the temple of God. And each is making the same point that these judgments come from God's presence and will end with his presence opening or open upon the earth once again. So it's God's presence is being made known. What does he do? He comes out with his wrath upon the earth dwellers, and his wrath upon them does affect us. We get collateral damage from the earth dwellers. And so anyways, back to number three, which is on the bottom of the page, the same time frame is found in each of these three series of sevens. The same time frame is from the time of Christ till the time of his return. And when it talks about the seals, the trumpets, the visions, the bowls, this is the inner Advent period, and you'll hear it, and he's repeating it. He's doing it in a G-rated, he's doing it in a PG, he's doing a PG-13, he's doing it in an R rating. Today we're going to hear the R rating. And so as we look down at this once more, it says, the first five occur from the time of Christ's resurrection to his second coming. The sixth in the line of the seven, when you're looking in each one of them, the sixth in each series covers a time of transition up to Christ's return. He's going to say, okay, now the judgment's happened upon the world. Now this is the transition now that Christ's return, his blessing is upon the believers. And then this is what will happen at the final thing. And so the seventh in each one of the last of the sevens, when we get into like this one here, the demonstration of God's enemies is complete. Down in this one, this breakdown is true in every single one of these. And so the seventh in each series covers the end up to Christ's return. So when you see the seals, the last under seal, the number seven ends in Christ's return. When you see the trumpets, the number seven down in the bottom ends in Christ's return. Today, what we're going to see will end on the bowls. Number seven is going to end in Christ's return. And it will be evidenced by thunder, smokes, lightning, hail. This is the things under the theophany that is saying God is here. He's with you. He's in your presence. The world will hate it, but the saints of the Lord are going, yes, yea, and amen. And that's what we're going to see, hopefully very quickly, through Revelation chapter 15 and 16. So, Lord willing, would you now turn with me to that Revelation chapter 15 passage. And Lord willing, I will show this and exhibit this in this chapters 15 and 16. You'll see the example being done in one big sweep. Instead of looking at every little component, I'm going to do it all as one. So as we saw last week we ended with chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, which completed Revelation 14's message regarding the saints of the Lord being blessed by God, with God giving the saints a new song in their hearts for God being merciful towards them by providing redemption for them. We saw that last week. At the same time, while he was doing that, the Apostle John introduces us to seven angels who are going to pour out God's seven bowl judgments upon the earth dwellers. So while he's talking about blessings, he's talking about cursings at the same time. And I will read those verses for you. It's Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. Notice what he says. Then I saw another sign in heaven. See, Evan's the temple is open. That's the opening. Great and amazing. And he says, seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last. So he's telling us, this is the last time I'm going to repeat this. It's of the trumpets, or the seals, the trumpets, the visions, the bowls. This is the last example I'm giving you. And from which the wrath of God is, and he actually tells you, it'll be finished. When I'm done with chapter 16, it will be finished. Me telling you the story, the account of God's wrath. This vision which the Apostle John saw is going to be the R-rated version of God's wrath falling upon the earth dwellers who will not repent. After God has given them the seals, He's given them the trumpets. He's given them the visions. He's given them the bold warnings. He's doing this over and over and over again throughout the church age, from his first advent to his second advent. He is his desire that none should perish, that all should come to repentance. But what do we hear over and over and over and over and over again? They will not repent. So notice with me now, I'm going to read Revelation chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. And we'll look at this quickly and we'll see this and I'll show you how we can develop it. After this, I looked, and the sanctuary of the tent of witness in heaven was open. Again, remember I told you, it's going to tell you about the temple, and the temple is going to be open. He's going to open it in the beginning, and we're going to hear it in the end. So here's John saying that. Verse 6, out of the sanctuary came seven angels, and with them now is the seven plagues. These angels are clothed in pure, white, bright linen with golden sashes around their chests. In verse 7, one of the four living creatures gave, that's the part of the living creatures, the one I keep forgetting them, because they don't have a name, they're just living creatures, gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. Verse 8, and the sanctuary was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one could enter the sanctuary until, when is it? The seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. And once again, we're given an open door into heaven. Verse 6, we are told that the seven angels will come out of the sanctuary with seven plagues. In verse 7, one of the four living creatures who are around the throne, which we heard about back, where did we hear about these living creatures? It was back in Revelation chapter 4, after we were talking about the seven churches, and it was verse 6, these are the ones who are going to give the bowls, the plagues, to these seven angels, and they were filled with the wrath of God. What else were they filled with? They were filled with the imprecatory prayers of the saints of God who have been martyred, which we saw back in Revelation chapter 8 and verses 3 through 5. And I'll read those without asking you to turn there so we can move along. And this is the G-rated version that we were talking about. It's Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 through 5. And another angel came and stood at the altar of the golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. Verse 4 says, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Verse 5, this is Revelation 8, 5. Then an angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar, and he threw it on the earth, and there were peals of thunder, rumbles, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. You hear the end? God is appearing. The thunder, the lightning, the flashes of lightning, the earthquake. This is the G rating. So this is the whole thing. This is his whole description of the end on the wrath of God. It would be the bowls that were given to the seven angels, and then they were filled with the prayers of the saints, and then they were set on fire, and that from that they were thrown onto the earth. Now, as we go from here, I'm going to ask you to compare this with chapters 15 and 16, because it is going to be more graphic, more involved. It's the same story. This is the G-rated part. Now, watch what happens when we turn to Revelation chapter 16. It's the same account. Only now what happens, because he says they gave the censers to the seven angels, and then they put the prayers of the saints in it, and then they dumped it as flames of fire on the earth. That's G-rating. Watch how it changes to R-rating in this account. It's Revelation chapter 16. And verse 1, then I heard a loud voice from the temple telling the seven angels, go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. Did we just see that in Revelation 8? So now this is the R rating. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl, that's bowl number one, on the earth. And harmful and painful sores came upon the people who bore the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. Did that get graphic? People will have boils on them now. Where did we hear this before? Is this something new? Is John just making this up? No, this comes from Exodus chapter 9 and verses 8 through 12. It was the sixth plague that was put upon the Egyptians, that they were filled with boils. So now I'm going to ask you to follow along with me at verse 3. It's Revelation chapter 16, verse 3. The second angel poured out his bowl. This is bowl number 2, and it's on the sea. And it became like the blood of a corpse, and every living thing died that was in the sea. Ho, wait a minute. I've heard this story before. Yeah, it was Exodus chapter 7, verses 20 and 21. And this was the first plague that fell upon the Egyptians when the Nile was turned to blood and all the fish died. And all the stuff that was in the water died, and the smell and the stink came up like a swamp. I don't know, have any of you ever been near a place that was really, really rancid? And you walked up next to it, and it's like, ooh, I'm not going in there. That he's telling us, so now it's getting graphic. It isn't just, oh, the bowls were poured out on the earth. He's telling us it stinks. And if you get around it too much, you might get something on you. Notice it goes on to verse 4. The angel poured out his bowl. This is the third bowl, and it's on the rivers. And the springs of water, or fresh water, and they became blood. Huh. This again was the first plague on the Egyptians in Exodus chapter 7, verses 20 and 21, where the Nile was turned to blood. In verse 5, this is Revelation 16, 5, and I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, and then listen to this condemnation. Just are you, Holy One, who is and who was, for you brought these judgments, for they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets. So this is through the inner Advent period he's talking about this. This is the judgment that will come upon these antichrist people. They have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve. Whatever judgment will come upon them. And he says, they deserve it. Well, the question will finally be answered then. Wait a minute, what are you talking about, Pastor? What are you talking about? Well, do you remember that the saints who were martyred asked the Lord something? It was found back in Revelation chapter 6 and verses 9 through 11, and this was during the fifth seal. The fifth seal, when the martyred saints of the Lord cried out, and it's Revelation 6:10. Now, these are people who died during the inner Advent period, from the time of first coming until when he will come again. And they will cry out, how long before you will judge and avenge the blood of those who dwell on the earth? The wrath of God and the imprecatory prayers of the saints will finally be fully revealed to adult ears. When we are hearing about people that these judgments will come and go and come and go, the plagues coming and going and coming and going and coming and going, they are judgments being poured out. Man, are we living through a time of judgment now? How will we respond biblically to these things? Well, anyways, these are all graphic descriptions of what's happened and will happen with the earth dwellers. Verse 2 describes people being having boils all over their bodies and being in great pain. Verse 3, seeing corpses of fish and water animals completely bloated in the water, putrefying the water. Verse 4, there will no longer be any fresh water. People will have to drink whatever stuff is putrefied, which is nasty. Verse 6, notice with me that the third angel says that this is just. And why? Because of what the earth dwellers have done and will do to the saints and the prophets of God. The earth dwellers, it is what they deserve. This is obviously not a G-rated version of God's judgments upon the earth dwellers compared to that other passage back in Revelation 8. Oh, the bowl was filled with incense and it was poured out on the world. Well, that's pretty G compared to what we're just looking at right here. Would you notice with me then in Revelation chapter 16, verses 7 through 11, and I heard the altar saying, "Yes, Lord God, the Almighty, true and just are your judgments." And then in verse 8, the fourth angel poured out his bowl. Now this is bowl number 4, on the sun, and it was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were scorched by the fierce heat, and they cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues. And then the scary words, you hear this over and over and over with the seals, you hear it with the trumpets, you hear it with the visions, now it's with the bowls, and you hear it in different ways, but they did not repent and give him glory. So in verse 7, what are we hearing from the altar, the throne of God? Whatever God does to the earth dwellers, it will be true and it will be just, no matter what he will dispense in judgment. He is not going to do it vindictively, as in a child takes a cookie, so you bring him out and you whip him. No, you slap the back of his hand so you don't do it again. It's in the level with what they're doing. And so notice with me in verse 8, these truths have already been prophesied. This is nothing new. I'll give you a couple of them that are very, very popular. All of this stuff has been already prophesied. One of the passages, we won't be reading it all, but it was like Isaiah 66, verses 15 through 16. The Lord will come in fire, and he will rebuke with flames of fire. In Joel chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, days of darkness and gloom and fire devour them. And then Malachi 4, 1 and 2, the day is coming, burning like an oven. And as verse 9 says, and despite the severity of their suffering, people will continue to refuse to repent. In other words, the earth dwellers will continue living in their same sinful manner, rejecting God and the redemption which he freely offers to all men. And so as you move on then to chapter 16, verses 10 and 11, it says the fifth angel poured out his bowl, so it's bowl number 5, on the throne of the beast, which is the governmental systems, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in anguish, and as verse 11 says, and cursed the God of heaven for their pain and their sores. And then what's the problem again? They did not repent of their deeds. And again, this is Exodus chapter 10, verses 12 through 15. And it's Exodus 10, 21 and 23. This plague is just like the Egyptian plague of darkness and the locusts which came upon the Egyptians. In their spiritual darkness, the Egyptians continued to rage against the Lord and against God's people, just like all of the antichrists have done throughout the ages and will continue until the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so notice with me as we move on to the sixth angel, it's Revelation chapter 16, and it starts in verse 12 and it goes down through 16. The sixth angel poured out his bowl, so this is the sixth bowl, on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings of the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, Satan, and out of the mouth of the beast, that's governmental systems, and out of the mouth of the false prophets, that's antichrists who are within the church, three unclean spirits like frogs, for they are demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of the Almighty. Verse 15 says, and it's a quote from Christ, "Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed." And they assembled them in the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. Now, verses 12 through 14 is the sixth plague, and it tells us about the preparation of the final battle against the Lord, when the Euphrates River will be dried up, and when the deceptive demonic spirits, like frogs, speaking up false truths, being the ideas being they are croaking lies. They're croaking lies out to the church. And so what we're seeing from this is that these frogs represent the unclean animals that we see back in Leviticus. There were some animals that were clean and some were unclean. Frogs are unclean. So when God sent the frogs into Egypt, it was an unclean taking over. That's the plague. So it's an unclean environment. So in Revelation 16:16, in the Apostle John's vision, he mentions a geographical place located in Israel. It is north of Jerusalem, yet it is south of Nazareth. John calls it Armageddon, which means mountain of Megiddo. The word Armageddon means mountain of Megiddo. But I'm going to ask you, what do you know about Megiddo? Well, most of us know very little, don't we? Well, what happens if you live there? Well, you should realize Megiddo is not a mountain. There is no mountain called Armageddon, and there is no mountain called Megiddo, because Megiddo is a very flat valley, and it's called the Jezreel Valley. It's in between the mountain ranges. Okay? So why does the Apostle John mention Megiddo as the place of the up-and-coming great final battle between Satan, the beast, and the prophets? Megiddo represented to the people of Israel a place of victory. The mountain of victory. This is where we are victorious. This is where we show our mettle. And so Megiddo was the place where battles were fought, where they turned back the advancing armies coming out of the north. There's examples. I won't turn to all of them. Judges 5, 2 Kings 23, 2 Chronicles 35 show amazing battles where they were victorious in the valley of Jezreel, Megiddo. And so they became the highlight, the Armageddon, the mountain place where we are victorious and God has prevailed with us. So the Apostle John uses this very place to show that God will be victorious in the final battle over the dragon, which is Satan, over the beast, that would be the global nations that are opposed to God, and then the false prophets that are within the church. And so as we come to our last section, it's Revelation 16, verses 17 through 21, and it brings the cycle of the judgments to an end. This, as he told us, remember it was Revelation 15:1, these are going to be the final ones I'm going to talk to you about, the final judgments, which was the seals, the trumpets, the visions, and now the bowls. So the bowl judgment are the final example of judgments falling upon the earth dwellers before the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're seeing, obviously, this is the R-rated version. And so verse 17 tells us the seventh angel poured out his bowl, number 7, into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple. Remember, I told you, it always somehow says temple in the start with, and it will end with temple in the end, from the throne saying, and then it's a proclamation from God, "It is done." Verse 18, and now we're seeing the theophany that I told you about, and there were flashes of lightning, rumbles, and peals of thunder, and a great earthquake, such as there had never been since man was on the earth, so great was the earthquake. Yes, God is appearing among men. Verse 19, the great city was split into three parts, and the city of the nations fell, and God remembered Babylon the Great to make her drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. And this will be at the second advent ahead of us. And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found. Verse 21, the great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on earth. And they cursed God for the plague of the hail. This is the earth dwellers. And then because the plague was so severe. By the way, have we heard this before? Yes, Exodus chapter 9, verses 23 to 25, it was the seventh plague fallen upon Egypt, where there was thunder and lightning and hail represented the appearance of God with Israel, being with them, delivering them out of the hands of the Egyptians. And so as Exodus 29 tells us, and I'd like you to highlight this for a little note, in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 26, the reason I'm going there, in the middle of the hail, of all this problem, we hear this. Only in the land of Goshen, where the people of Israel was there no hail. God protected his people. What we're hearing in Revelation is what? God is protecting his people, but to the earth dwellers, they will feel his wrath. God has delivered his people in the past, and Christ will deliver his people in the future. And so verse 18 tells us it will be evidenced by his majestic entrance. His entrance will have flashes of lightning, rumbles of thunder, and the great earthquakes and the hail falling from the sky. And as verse 19 says, Jerusalem will be split into three parts. Verse 20 tells us the great hailstones will weigh over 100 pounds, will plague the earth dwellers. Just as it was mentioned back in Exodus chapter 9, in verses 22 through 25. And so in verse 19, when Christ arrives the second time, he will remember how sinful mankind really is and remember the poster child, Babylon, the symbol of sinful mankind, and he will make the earth dwellers drink the cup of his fury, and it says, of his wrath. And verse 21 says, and after all of the warnings throughout the ages, the earth dwellers will curse God for the just judgments for their sinful rebellion. And I'd like now for us to go back to Revelation 16:15. This is for us. This isn't for the earth dwellers. This is you and me. Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. And it's the quote, it's an interjection by Christ. It's a quote from Christ that John has. And listen how he is written. This is for all of us who are the faithful. Behold, I am coming like a thief. So what's he telling you, me? Be ready, isn't he? It's be ready. And he says, now we were having a benediction. He's telling you, blessed is the one who stays. What does he tell you to do? Stay awake. You got to spiritually stay awake while all this this disruption around you is going on. Don't be fooled by every Tom, Dick, and Harry and whatever you're hearing. Don't be deceived by it. Stay spiritually awake. And then he tells us, keep his garments on. Well, is it the shirt? Are we talking about my shirt and tie? What is he talking about? Keep your garments on. Spiritually, keep yourself righteous. Keep yourself faithful. Keep yourself obedient. Follow the word of God. Keep clothed, keep righteous. Keeping his garments on, your righteousness, your faithfulness. And then, notice, it isn't PG. We're talking R rating. What does he end with in that sentence? At 15. That he, that be you and me, may not be going about what? That you won't be naked. I don't know about any of you. I don't want to take my clothes off in front of you, and I don't think any of you want to watch me take my clothes off in front of you either. But what's he saying? When you finally, when at the second advent of Christ, and you're standing there, will you be naked in front of all creation? You don't want to be naked in front of me. What about all creation? You're supposed to be righteous and faithful. You do not want to be exposed. And Christ is telling you, I love you. Behold, I'm coming quickly. You are blessed. I'm giving you need everything for faithfulness and righteousness. I've given you everything from the Word of God. And what more can you ask for? Be ready. Be ready. Be aware. Don't be asleep. Because if you are, you think it's bad now. The R rating is really coming. I'd like to end with a verse from the Apostle John. It's 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. And this is from a man who's probably my age or a little older. And he says to people who are believers in this area, he says this, and now, little children, I guess that's the way us older people talk, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence. That you may have confidence. And then not shrink from him in shame at his coming. Shall we close in prayer? Our Lord and our God, thank you for your care for us, your love for us, your provision for us. You have been very, very graphic. You were not holding back at all. You were not holding back any punches. You have been kind throughout the ages. You've been merciful. And yet, throughout the ages, we have seen the plagues come and the plagues go. And yet, the earth dwellers do not repent. May myself, may my brothers and sisters here today, Father, may we not be found shrinking back. May we not be found spiritually naked in your presence before all of the heavenly host. May we be found faithful and righteous in your sight as your bride dressed gloriously being presented at the marriage supper. We love you. We adore you. We desire to follow you and worship you and glorify you. May you accept our prayers and our heartfelt worship. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Would you please turn with me in your hymnal to hymn number 343, Amazing Grace.